Be seated. I get to tell you a story today, and you get to listen to a story. It's a short story, so I'm not going to keep you here overly long today. But it's a very fascinating story. It's got some drama to it. But mostly it is a story of tenderness and compassion. It involves a rich man and a person with crippled legs. So God bless us, everyone, as we study this. You got it. I thought that Dr. Hannah would be the only one to pick up on that. But it's not the story of Scrooge and Tiny Tim. It's the story of David and Mephibosheth. Who? David, you know well, the shepherd boy chosen by God to be king, writer of the 23rd Psalm, next king after Saul, friend of Jonathan, Saul's son. But Mephibosheth, who in the world is he? I asked the chaplain a couple of days ago how many people in the audience at Bethany Chapel would be able to tell me the story of Mephibosheth. It would probably be insulting his answer, so I'm not going to tell you what it was. But Mephibosheth, first of all, his name. It's a strange meaning to his name. It means from the mouth of shame. His name used to be Meribbaal. That is one who contends with Baal, but the Jews didn't like to put the name Baal on their lips, so they changed his name to Mephibosheth, from the mouth of shame. So growing up with that name. And he's got a background that's interesting. The background verse comes from a few chapters before the chapter that the story appears in. It's the days when Saul and his son Jonathan were fighting the Philistines, and they were both killed. David had already been chosen to be king. And so the nurse of the young son of Jonathan picked up Mephibosheth, dropped him, and so his legs were paralyzed from that time on, a man with crippled legs. And now the story continues some years later. And this is where the drama sets in. The practice in the day was to kill off anybody who was from the line of the old king so he would not be a threat to the throne. So now what's going to happen to Mephibosheth? He's the grandson of King Saul and the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul. Remember that Jonathan was a dear friend of David. They were bosom buddies. But Mephibosheth is still available to be king if the other line is going to be reestablished. So I suppose that Mephibosheth was worried that someday there'd be a knock on the door and the king has found me, now he's after me. He's living in a land called nothing. It's lo davar in Hebrew for you seminary students. Not a thing. He evidently had nothing. Here he is, a crippled man, and living in a place called nothing. And now comes a knock on the door, finally, one day. He doesn't know the background of it. Here's what David had said. Just before the knock on the door, the king, David, said, "Isn't there still a man left who belongs to the house of Saul, to whom I may show the kindness of God?" But we also know David, don't we? Was he being honest? Or was he up to something and wanted to find the last survivor so that he could do him in? You know David is capable of that. He committed adultery with a man's wife, and then he put the husband in front of the battle so to be sure he was killed, and sure enough he was killed. Is that why he wants to find Mephibosheth? So Mephibosheth is summoned. And I suppose he's living in fear. What's going to happen to me now? Will I feel the sword on me? So now we hear in 2 Samuel chapter 8. When Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, Saul's son Jonathan, came to David, he bowed face down to the king. And David said to him, "Do not be afraid. I will certainly show kindness to you because of Jonathan, your father. I will return to you all the land of your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat bread at my table." Wow, what a relief. What a relief. And not only would he not be killed, but a new life for him. Eating at the king's table for the rest of his days. And he's absolutely overwhelmed. And so he responds this way. "What is your servant that you have paid attention to a dead dog like me?" Overwhelmed by David's grace and compassion. Didn't know how to act. Why do I deserve this? What does he call himself? Not just a dog. And that day, dogs were not family pets. They were scavengers, dirty things, that dirty dog. But he calls himself a dead dog, like a dog lying in the street, ready for the garbage. That's the way he feels. But what does he get instead? Treated like the king's son, the king's family, for the sake of the Lord, and for the sake of Jonathan, the dear friend of David. That's the way he would be treated. He is overwhelmed with grace and mercy and compassion. So once again, so Mephibosheth began eating at the king's table like one of the king's sons. I'm just going to draw one lesson from this story. But that's our story. Dogs, dead dogs. We bit God all along the way. Every commandment bit him. We deserve to be dead dogs, treated like judged people. But that's not the way God treated us. In fact, he gave the king himself, to come into our world and to give up his riches and become poor so that for his sake we could become rich. The great exchange. He lived for us. He died for us. He changed our condition. He gave us his riches. And now we sit at the table of the King of the universe. Rich people, rich with forgiveness, reconciliation with God, rich with peace, eating and drinking from the table of God. And in eternity, we will do that in perfection, sitting at the King's table. So, Mephibosheths is what we are too. Overwhelmed with God's grace. 2 weeks from today, on Thursday, you'll be sitting around a big table, probably, loaded with all sorts of good things. And you'll be reminded that the Lord provides for us day by day with daily stuff, daily food, but much more than that, all of our spiritual food. And let's say there's a lull in the conversation around that table next Thursday. And you say, "It's starting to make me feel like Mephibosheth here at this table." And they'll say, "What in the world are you talking about?" And at that point, you can be a witness to the grace and compassion of our God by telling the story of Mephibosheth. Amen. We pray. Dear Father, you lead us and daily you feed us. Our pain into blessing you wondrously bend. Now make us ever thankful and thoughtful and helpful through Jesus, our Redeemer and Heavenly Friend. By his life and death, forgive us, melt icy hearts within us, turn vanity, stinginess, coldness to love. Then channel your mercy through us to those more needy, while we heartily give thanks to you, the giver above. We sing the last two verses of our hymn.